We are looking at the embryology, is what we could call it, the false teaching, really, that's been pushed forward to indoctrinate people into believing evolution. So that's what we're looking at right here. We've just picking up from last week. Haeckel's law has justified the murder of unborn children. The law basically that you go through the process of evolution in the womb is what is taught. And we looked last week at all the false assumptions that they made and the lies even that they used in pushing forward their agenda to prove evolution with false pictures, false drawings that this man made. But the result of that has been the justified murder of unborn children. See, what we believe actually has consequences. And the huge abortion rate today, if I'm not mistaken, the average is 3,500 children a day are murdered through abortion, is a result of evolution. Or one of the results is a major cause of it. So, it says we can justifiably charge this evolutionary nonsense of recapitulation with responsibility for the slaughter of helpless prenatal children, or at least forgiving it a pseudoscientific rationale. This is from The Long War Against God by Henry Morris, PhD in hydraulic engineering. Haeckel believed that the embryo is still in the evolutionary stage and not fully human. Well, then we can kill it, right? This is logic leads to this. It's not really human yet. It's still in the evolutionary stage. He said it's completely devoid of consciousness. How would he know that? He doesn't know that. He just says that because he wants to push this agenda. Because when it comes down to it, they hate God. You say, no, they don't hate God. Yes, they do. They hate God. Completely devoid of consciousness and is a pure reflex machine, just like a lower vertebrate. Okay, lower life form is what he's saying right there. Haeckel taught that even a newborn child has no soul and therefore infanticide cannot rationally be classified as murder. Look at this, is in the late 1800s, early 1900s here. A newborn child has no soul. How would he know that? How does he know that? He doesn't. See, that's in direct contradiction of what the Word of God says. The one that created us, the one that knows us, it's in direct contradiction of that. If God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul, and we're all made in the image of Adam. From conception, you can see it there in Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Life happens at conception. But he says it's not infanticide because, so you can't really classify it as murder. See, he understood, look, if it is a human being, then it's murder. He understood this back then. If it actually is a human being in the womb, it's murder. And I got a good video I'm going to show us here at the end of this little lecture, whatever we want to call this thing here. I'm going to show us a video today of a baby in the womb. It's amazing. It's that video I showed you, brother. It's amazing. But look, I want to read this again. Haeckel taught that even a newborn child has no soul and therefore infanticide cannot rationally be classed as murder. Isn't this what's used today to push abortion? This is exactly what's used today to justify the murder of innocent children. Now, my wife was speaking with a lady in our church. I don't want to embarrass her, but she made an excellent point, the lady that my wife was speaking with. And the gruesome murder that happened a week and a half ago of that 10-year-old girl. That was horrible. That made international news because of how atrocious it was. And my opinion of that is that it is absolutely demonic in nature, the evil that they did. But what they did to her in dismembering her, that's the exact same thing that happens in abortion. Do you know that? Many people don't know that. Many people don't know the process of abortion and what they do. There's different types. But that's one of the main methods they use, is to dismember the child in the womb. And because it's in the womb, it's not human. So it's okay when it's out here. I mean, it's not okay when it's out here to dismember a human, but if it's in the womb, it's okay to dismember them. That's the truth of abortion right there that people don't like to talk about. And even some preachers will say, don't say anything about that. You shouldn't talk about that from the pulpit. Why not? That's what's happening. People need to know. People need to be informed that if you support abortion, that's what you're supporting, the dismemberment of a human being. I mean, that means ripping your arms off one piece at a time. ripping a leg off and just tearing you apart one piece at a time. That's what abortion is. And I know it's gruesome, but that's what's happening. And we need to understand that. And evolutionary thinking is what's helped lead to that. For physically or mentally handicapped infants, Haeckel recommended a small dose of morphine or cyanide. What's he saying? Kill them. See, even out of the womb, there's doctors today that are saying it's okay up to 6 months. Some have said up to 2 years. I mean, man, that's going to be pretty bad. What if your kid's being a brat that day? And you're just like, I'm sick of this kid. Let me go have an abortion. Whatever they're going to call it. See, when we start to devalue life, where does it stop? Where does it stop? And now what's being pushed is that you can, you know, this medical suicide, medically assisted suicide. When our society no longer values life, which is where we're at, there's no stop to it. So then everything that Hitler did and the Nazis did is absolutely okay. There's nothing wrong with it because that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. They were killing, you know, mentally retarded people, handicapped people. They were rounding them up and killing them too. Why? Because they're not part of the master race. They're going to infect the gene pool. So let's get rid of them. Our beliefs have consequences. So hey, if you have handicapped infant, mentally handicapped, hey, small dose of morphine, cyanide, just kill them. In 1990, Carl Sagan and his wife argued that abortion, he's one of the biggest proponents of evolution and anti-God as it gets. Carl Sagan and his wife argue that abortion is ethical on the grounds that the fetus is not fully human. See, that's why they push for that so much. Hey, let's start calling it a fetus rather than a baby, because that's going to help. Look, what happens is the secular world will hijack the terminology. Okay, so now what's a rainbow known as now? Doesn't represent God's covenant that he's never going to destroy the world through a flood again. For most people, what does it represent? It represents a sodomite lifestyle. That's what it represents now to most people because they've hijacked it and they hijacked the terminology. So now we're even finding ourselves, we'll use the term fetus. I mean, I've used it. You probably have too. Why? Because they've hijacked the terminology. So we're going to take away the fact that it's a baby now and we're going to call it a fetus. Well, what's a fetus? Oh, it's just a blob of tissue. So it's okay. So he says the fetus is not fully human. They called the embryo a kind of parasite. Well, who wants a parasite? Parasites are bad, right? We take medicine to get rid of parasites. If we're sick with a parasite, right? You want that thing dead. So let's call it a parasite. See, subtle things like that start to change our thinking into saying, oh, it's not a baby, it's a parasite. So if I want to get rid of it, it's okay because it's not human yet. It changes into something like a fish and then becomes reptilian and finally mammalian. I was in Parade magazine there. Carl Sagan, in human intrauterine development, we run through stages very much like fish, reptiles, and non-primate mammals before we become recognizably human. And this is on that false evolutionary chart that they've used. He's still pushing it. This is the chart I'm speaking of, okay? This is false. The drawings were doctored. It was made to make them look very similar when that's not anything near the truth what's pushed right here. And they still put that garbage in science textbooks today. It's still in there to indoctrinate our children, to raise them up to believe something false. So we wonder why they grow up and then they reject Christianity. It's because they're being taught things like this. And I know that's not the only reason. I get that. There's a lot to it, but this is part of it right here. The embryo chart and the myth of recapitulation expose the bankruptcy of the doctrine of evolution. It is not science. It's a worldview that is upheld by lies. And that's exactly the truth. It's upheld by lies. All right, I want us to watch this video now. So give me just a sec. This was a C-section that was done, and the amniotic sac didn't break. So this baby still thinks it's in its mother's womb. Sorry, I should have warned you. This might be a little... Sorry, I didn't do that, okay? It's too late now, all right? Sorry. But look, you can see it moving. I mean, you could see his hands moving. I'll play it again for us. But that's just absolutely amazing to me. Look, watch his hands moving in there. Is that working for me? Can't really see it. Oh, I turned it off. Right there, you can see his hands are moving. You'll see him move. Hey, look at him. Or her. Moving in there. Is that not a baby? Is that not a bit? That's amazing. The miracle of life right there. But our government says, you can kill that. It's not a human. You can rip that to pieces. It's not a human. That's not life. Still in the womb. The women's lib movement says, hey, my body, my choice. Is that her body? See, it's a murder. Oh, it's still in that sack, so go ahead, you can kill it. Other types of abortions they'll inject poison in the amniotic sac. Some of those children are still born. Call them candy apple babies because of how it eats them and kills them. It's like acid going into them. I forget the actual stuff they inject in there. It's torture. Look, we passed like the Geneva Convention and things like that. And after World War I, they made agreements that they won't gas soldiers anymore because of the torture that it caused them. But it's okay to do it to a baby in the womb. Those types of things. See, this is how serious what's being taught, the effects that it has. And this isn't just the only effect. I'm talking about abortion, but it's a huge one. What was it being pushed when Bill Clinton was president? They're pushing for abortion, legalization of abortion, right? More of it. Why? We want it, you know, rare, safe, and legal. That's not what they want. That's not whatever what they want. They didn't ever want it rare. They want what they have today, and they're pushing for more and more and more. And you watch, just watch. This is my prediction. I could be wrong, but my prediction is that they are going to allow eventually the murder of children outside of the womb. They will allow for it. They allow for the murder of the elderly. Where does it stop? Where does the value of life start and stop? Hey, when you're a drain on the system, it's cheaper to just put you out of your misery. We're not going to give you that care. You don't need it. So now you got a government bureaucrats making that decision for you over your mother or father. Rather than you as a family, they're deciding if they can get that care or not. These are, look, well, you shouldn't talk politics. Why? It affects our life. These teachings of evolution affect everything that happens in this life. It does. What we believe affects our life. And Christians have just silenced themselves. We need to be salt and light. We need to be willing to speak up for these things. I mean, you're having conversations at work or whatever. Speak on these things. Even if you don't have to get in an argument with them, if you see it's getting hostile, just back off. But get your opinion out there. Let people know that's not right. And explain some of these things to them. Teach them. Start educating them. I mean, that's how it's going to happen. We've got to educate people on this. Because even if it's a lost person, a person that doesn't know the Lord, that's never been born again, they still can look at that video of that baby right there and recognize the value of life in that. But you've got most of the politicians, the senators, the representatives that we have, those running for president, thinking it's okay to murder that child if it's still in the womb. And they're pushing for that. They're saying that's okay, and we're all right with that. I'm not. I don't think we should be. All right, we're going to next move to ape men here. So ape men, again, look at the picture. I'm just telling you, they're trying to portray something even in the pictures that they make. They don't 100%, but partially, they make it look like a black person. And you can see that in there, in the depiction of this, these ape men. Okay, that's why this is where racism was so big. It was helped along with this because they're a lower life form. You haven't evolved as far as we have. We're better than you. And this is what you get, indoctrination. Ever since Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species in 1859, evolutionists have rushed to find the missing link in human evolution. And by the way, when we started this whole thing off, Charles Darwin wasn't the first one to believe in evolution like this. It was taught a long time ago. Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. So it's been taught for a long time. He just really popularized it and got this thing going in the last, you know, century, the end of the 19th century. The history of this search is not the story of true science. Searching for that missing link is what it's talking about. It is a history filled with lies and hoaxes. This has been exposed in many books. Bones of Contention by Roger Lewin. Bones of Contention, A Creationist Assessment by Martin Lubenow. In the Minds of Men, Darwin and the New World Order by Ian Taylor. Adam and Evolution by Michael Pittman, Icons of Evolution by Jonathan Wells, The Bone Peddler Selling Evolution by William R. Fix. Consider some statements by the evolutionists themselves. The search for man's past has been littered with vain hopes and, get this, an invented hominids. Okay, Francis Hitchin, the neck of the giraffe. The word hominid refers to humans or relatives to humans, okay? It's invented relatives to us, okay? William Fix in The Bone Peddler says, I gradually came to realize that the presentation of fossil evidence for human evolution has long been and still is more of a market phenomenon than a disinterested scientific exercise. He's saying it's not science, is what he's saying. Compared to other sciences, the mythic element is greatest in paleoanthropology. The mythic element is greatest in paleoanthropology. What's that? That's looking for this missing link. Andrew Hill, Review of the Myth of Human Evolution. The study of human ancestry is a field of science mainly concerned with conjecture and speculation. They don't know, they're just guessing. That's what that means. So what they're believing by faith. But they will never admit that. Most of them, the great majority of them, won't admit it's by faith. So, oh, it's science. What we believe is backed up by science. It's not what these guys are saying. It's mainly concerned with conjecture and speculation. We're just guessing. We think this. And we slant towards evolution because we're coming with that preconceived notion as we step into this thing. As we will see, the drawings and models of ape men are fiction. They are lies created by men and women who want to debunk the Bible. So look, I'm telling you, if you get a good artist, a good sculptor, you know, they can make it look real, and this is what helps to indoctrinate us. We say, well, I saw that. You know, I went to the Museum of Natural History here in Albuquerque, and I saw that they had those ape men standing up, and so that's what we came from. You can see it transitioning. Except you got the monkey over here. You got a man over here. And those are the only two things that are real. Everything else is make-believe. But they don't want to admit that. They say, we got science backing it up, see? Except it's all make-believe. The field of human anthropology is filled with self-seeking deception and carnal strife. The rivalry between teams of paleontologists has been described as like a football match. It wasn't purely a group of disinterested scientists trying to get it right. So they're fighting over who gets bragging rights, basically. Roger Lewin documents the amazing bickering between top paleoanthropologists since the days of Piltdown Man to the discovery of Lucy. Both those are false, by the way. All right, we must understand that major ape-man discoveries result in fame and fortune. I mean, because look, it's pushed out there. Why? The media wants it to be true. So anytime any evidence comes up, I mean, it's everywhere. Here, proof of evolution, the missing link has been found, but it's false. So these people, they get fame and fortune if they can find a missing link. Louis Leakey was the first paleontology rock star. Okay, he enjoyed fame greater than any other scientist. He dined at the White House and was granted wealthy contracts to advertise Rolex watches. Donald Johanson, discoverer of the Lucy bones, was thrust immediately into the limelight. He was invited to join exclusive clubs and founded his own international institute. After more than a century of research, there's no scientifically proven link between ape and man. None whatsoever. The charts of human evolution in museums and textbooks have dotted lines showing that the missing links are still missing. Look, and even if you find, if they find a so-called missing link, how do they know that thing ever had children? They don't. They don't know that dead bones they found ever had children. So ape man, Haeckel's ape men, Java man, Piltdown man, Nebraska man, Neanderthal, and Lucy. So Haeckel's ape man. The father of ape man research is Ernest Haeckel, who was a German disciple of Charles Darwin. Haeckel believed so strongly in the mythical ape man, even though there was zero proof, that he described what the creature would look like and approved of an artist's drawing of an ape man family. Look, oh, well, there it is. I mean, see, good artist. They look part ape, part human, so there we have it. There's proof for evolution. Without a single shred of evidence, Haeckel had already named the creature Pithecanthropus alulus, speechless ape man. So they couldn't speak, see? And look, you start getting into I mean, Bible criticism and whatnot, and they want to go back to Genesis, and they say at the time Moses supposedly wrote, you know, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, man didn't have the ability to write, and then lo and behold, what do you know, archaeology proves exactly what the Bible said, and they did have the ability to write at that time. Look, see, evolution has taught us backwards. We think we're getting better. We're getting worse. Okay, they were much smarter than we were. Think about it. Adam was the perfect man. They used to live 900 years. I mean, things are going down, not up. Okay, you say, but they didn't have technology like this back then. Well, there's been some studies and archaeology's proven they used to have batteries and things like that. I'm not going to get into all that type of stuff right now. But anyway, we think that we're getting better and better because we have things like this and we have computers and whatnot. But think about it. We've been able to build on the backs of others to where we're at this point. Okay, we learned from them and we were able to build on that. It doesn't mean we personally are getting smarter or a bigger brain capacity. Look, it's getting worse. It's going down. Okay, that's why at one point people freak out over this. Well, where did Cain get his wife? That's so simple. Like, that's such a straw man argument that evolutionists will bring up or atheists will bring up. Well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, where'd the ooze that you're talking about coming out of the water, where did that get its wife? I mean, it's an easy answer. It really is. It had to be one of his sisters or a niece or something along those lines. It had to be. You think, well, God forbid that. God said you couldn't, their incest was forbidden. But when did he say that? See, because the genes were pure to start with. And they've slowly gotten worse. It's like you make a copy of 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 a copy. I don't know if kids deal with that anymore, but I remember in school we used to get copies of copies of copies of copies, and the printers put it out in purple. Anybody else remember that? Okay, that purple ink, that it would just be like a big blur. The teacher was like, oh, we had to make a copy of a copy of a copy. You couldn't even read it because the copy just got worse and worse. That's what's happening with mankind. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. You go back to Adam, that was like the original, and now we're just slowly getting worse and worse. Why do you think there's things like deformities and whatnot? Because it's not getting better, it's getting worse. But evolution teaches us the exact opposite of what reality shows us. Evolution says, hey, it's getting better. Nuh-uh. All right. Speechless ape man. They couldn't speak. He published his own drawings of the supposed evolution of man. There, what do you see right there? A black man. What does it say? Nigger. Right there, you could see it. Okay, and what? He's in there with monkeys, and there's a black man. Indoctrination, trying to teach us something. One chart showed apes becoming more human, but he doctored the drawings. And look, here you see it again. Number 12 down here. I don't know if everyone can see it. Let me move this out of the way. Number 12 right here. You know, what is that? Where have we ever found that? No one's ever seen anything like that, but hey, we just change it so it looks like this is what's happening. And what do we see slowly right here? From here to here to here, you got a black man. Do you see that? And then what does it turn into? Oh my goodness. It's like an Anglo-Saxon European. Isn't that what you see? That's what I see. I mean, right? Top of the chart there. Who's up there? This is what they're teaching. There you go, Hitler. He was right. If evolution's true. If evolution's true, he wasn't wrong. Right? If that's what they teach, he wasn't wrong. He made the men look more like apes. He made the apes look more like men. This wasn't science, it was propaganda. Haeckel is the man who created the embryo chart. This one we've looked at before. Java man now. All right, Eugene Dubois was a student of Ernest Haeckel. There you go. Who wanted to find evidence of the ape man. He began his search on the island of Java when he was assigned there with the Dutch army, 1891 to 92, and he found a few bones. Dubois found an ape skull in 1891, and in 1892 he found a human thigh bone 50 feet away. He also found a couple of teeth, so there's that great discovery, okay? An ape skull, a human thigh bone, and a couple of teeth. And by the way, the thigh bone was 50 feet away from the ape skull. All right, these are the bones that Dubois found. That's them. There's no evidence that the skull and thigh bone belong to the same individual or even the same creature. But it doesn't matter. We got to push this agenda, right? So they did. They fit. We're going to make them fit. Yet Dubois and Haeckel announced that they had found the missing ape man, and it had a small ape head and long human legs. It was named Pithecanthropus erectus. This means ape man that walks upright. Isn't that good? All right, and look at it. They got this whole picture of it. Got a whole picture. Where'd they get that from? From a thigh bone that we don't even know if it belonged to it. Part of a skull and a tooth. And this is what we come up with. Haeckel had a life-size model made of the mythical creature and exhibited it throughout Europe. So people think, oh, look, our society worships science. 100% worships science. Well, you know, even parents, well, you know, you'll get some advice from like a grandma who's got, you know, 400 grandbabies. And they'll give a new parent's advice, and the new parents are like, well, my doctor hasn't said that. But this grandma's got more experience than that, you know, 30-year-old doctor that doesn't even have children. But science said this. See, we worship science. Okay, the Greeks seek after knowledge, the Jews seek after a sign. I'm just telling you how it is. So, hey, this guy goes around with this exhibit, and he says, look what science has proven, and they've got this statue made of this creature. And it's like, well, we did evolve. Java Man appeared in books, magazines, newspapers, and museums as evidence for evolution. Yet it was a lie. Not only was there never any evidence that the skull and the thigh bone belonged to the same creature, but Dubois had also found two other skulls in the same place as the Java Man skull and had kept this a secret. Why? Because they didn't fit with what he was trying to push. They didn't fit the propaganda, the agenda he was pushing forward. This is because the two skulls were obviously fully human, okay? Dubois had not found an ape man. He had found real men living in the same location as apes, just as men do today in places such as Africa, India, and Nepal. Piltdown Man. Piltdown Man was presented as a missing link in human evolution for 40 years. This was used to indoctrinate people. It was used as evidence for human evolution by scientists and teachers throughout the world. In 1912, the British Natural History Museum said that bones of an ape man had been found in a gravel pit in Sussex, England. The bones had been discovered by Charles Dawson, an amateur fossil hunter, and by Arthur Woodward of the British Museum of Natural History. The gravel pit was at a place called Piltdown, so the bones were named Piltdown Man. The bones were examined by renowned scientists who claimed that the creature was a missing link. These men included Arthur Woodward, Grafton Elliott Smith, Arthur Keith, Pierre Teilhard. See, scientists looked at it, so it must be true. Scientists said so, so it must be true. Scientists examining Piltdown, just a picture of it there, or artist's conception. In the Piltdown gravel pit, there they are. Piltdown was given the scientific name of Eoanthropus Dawsoni, which means Dawson's Don Man. Piltdown played a large role in proving evolution during the first half of the 20th century. Okay, so likely this is what maybe, probably I'm guessing everyone in here, probably their parents were being taught this. Many influential publications published the finding. Darwin theory is proved true. The New York Times, there it is. The New York Times ran the headline that Darwin's theory proved true. The subheading stated, English scientists say the skull found in Sussex establishes human descent from apes. There it is. There's the proof. Established it in the New York Times. The London Illustrated News, December 1912, published a drawing of Piltdown on its cover. Look at that. All from a thigh bone, piece of a skull, and a tooth. That's pretty good, isn't it? Man, that guy should be drawing for the FBI or something if he can come up with all that. Popular Science magazine, October 1931, had a report about Piltdown Man proving evolution. Drawings and models depicted Piltdown as an ape man. A model in the British Museum of Natural History was seen by tens of thousands of people during the 41 years that it was on display. Piltdown was used as evidence that the Bible is not true. There it is. We get to the heart of it. We get to the heart of it. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Get rid of the light. We don't want the light. Do away with that Bible, because that Bible condemns me. That's what it comes down to. I love my sin, and I want to hold on to my sin. So I'm going to jump on evolution's bandwagon, because if evolution's true, the Bible's not. There's no reconciling those two. They're at complete opposite ends. It's one or the other, but that's what it comes down to. Evidence the Bible's not true. Books were published by scientists. Arthur Woodward published The Earliest Englishman. The cover said a graphic first-hand account of the discovery of Piltdown Man, one of the most famous of the links between ape and man. And look, if it's in a book, then, I mean, it's got to be true, right? It's in a book. I mean, they printed it. It's got to be true. The discoverers of the Piltdown bones were given many prestigious awards. They were knighted by the Queen of England. Look at that. Knights. In 1953, the British Museum ran new tests on the bones and concluded that they were fake. What? They're fake. There you go, all along. Someone had taken an ape jawbone and part of a human skull and treated them with chemicals to make them look old. Huh. The hoax was probably perpetrated by Charles Dawson, but the mystery was never solved. Of course not.